Hi, everyone. This is Rajnjak Peter from Luxembourg. I am the shooting coach for the Luxembourg national team, and you are listening to Coach D Podcast.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, wherever you are, near or far, high or low, you're listening to the Coach D Podcast. And listen, I think the last time I had a shooting expert on the podcast, some shout out to Mike Dunn, was when I had it with him. But you know how we do on the Coach D Podcast, we have to, I think it's absolutely necessary to introduce this high level coach the right way. Listeners, stepping on the court today, we are thrilled to have a special guest joining us, a renowned shooting coach with a wealth of experience in refining the art of shooting. His expertise extends far beyond the basketball court. He has worked closely with notable players like Mike Dunn, Rob Fordor, honing their shooting skills to perfection and just sharing ideas with coaches such as that. His journey as a shooting coach is as inspiring as an insightful, and today he's here to share his wealth of knowledge with us. Throughout this conversation, we will explore various exercises to develop impeccable shooting techniques, as well as the mechanics behind a flawless shooting form and his philosophy on basketball that has shaped the way he coaches players to reach their full potential. Listeners, please give a warm welcome to shooting coach Peter Rajnjak.
That's pretty amazing, man. I love that.
Absolutely. I mean, just before you get started, Coach, once again, thank you so much for being on the podcast. I'm super excited, honestly, especially when it comes to the skill of shooting. And just before we get started, Coach, how's your physical and how is your mental?
I'm doing very well. Thanks for asking. I have a beautiful family, four beautiful kids. We are healthy. We are doing great. I love what I'm doing as a teacher. My primary job is I'm actually a PE teacher, and I love teaching sports. I love teaching shooting, especially for basketball. So I can't complain, and I'm just enjoying the ride.
Nice. You see, this is how I just know that this conversation is gonna go well, because even for myself, I teach PE in a primary school, and I think every kid knows that they know me for basketball, but I do teach other sports as well. So I'm super curious to know, you know, how you teach shooting across all ages. But before we get into that topic, just kind of tell us, you know, the very first time a ball was placed in your hands, like who was around you at the time, where was you, and who was that person who placed the basketball in your hands for that first time?
Oh, that's a good question. Well, I do come from a basketball family. My dad played on a pretty high level. He actually played for the Czechoslovakian national team. He made the Olympics, the World Championships, and even I think his biggest success was in 1985, where they lost to Russia in the European Championship. So he was definitely my biggest inspiration, and I'm sure, you know, he was the one who put the ball in my hands as much as probably. As my mother, she also played professionally and coached, and I have also an older brother who also, played basketball professionally. So it was all in the family, and I actually started off playing soccer because my best friend in school was a soccer player. Nice. So I wanted to do what he was doing, but the rain and the cold weather convinced me otherwise. I think the gym is a little warmer, and don't look comfortable, and I just
right. And like for me, and you know, especially the listeners know, I started basketball quite late, around the age of 13, 14, you know, especially when I kind of compare myself to other peers, they started super early. But you know, kind of like any kid who picks up a basketball, rather than them asking dribbling or passing, they go straight to shooting. You know, and for me, you know, it's been definitely a long journey, you know, just really mastering the fine art of shooting and coming across players, coaches like yourself, Mike Dunn, Coach Rob. You know, you guys have really been able to, one, understand the true art of shooting, and two, just being able to teach it in such a digestible way, I think is really impactful for players all around who are trying to master the sport. So for yourself, Coach, when you was kind of coming up as a player, what was your early relationships like with shooting?
Like I said, my dad was a really great shooter. I would say one of the best shooters in the 80s in Europe. So obviously he was teaching me how to shoot.
Right.
But then again, this is the late 80s, early 90s. So like basketball, like everything else is changing rapidly. And just the fact that what we knew back then and what are we teaching now is just a whole different story. Even when I played, I was considered as a shooter. I really liked shooting the ball.
Nice.
We pretty much any player likes to shoot the ball, but yeah, I got pretty lucky that my dad coached me and then he showed me how to shoot it the right way. And I always had a hoop in my backyard, and I just was dedicated to become a great shooter, and I definitely put in the time. But even when I played, I did not know any of the stuff that I'm actually teaching now. Like, this is all things to Mike and Rob, just their way of teaching and showing it in different, videos or right. the way they, what words they use, made me, fall in love with shooting and becoming a teacher, because I saw that it really helps. And it's just, sometimes we make it complicated, shooting, but it actually is a very simple movement. But if we start with bad habits, and we don't have, I don't want to say that there's a wrong teaching, but if we don't have the right habits from the beginning and then actually understand what the movement is, then it is difficult. But I think the more we understand how it works, the whole energy transfer and how we put the ball in the hoop, then it gets much, much easier. And this is all thanks to Rob and Mike, who opened so many doors to me and showed me how to do it. And it's, I will forever be grateful to them. And hopefully I can pass it on and teach as many players and coaches as possible.
Absolutely. And it's funny because even for myself, I came across Coach Mike Dunn and Coach Rob shortly after, around COVID times, where everyone was kind of stuck at home. And here in the UK, I think after a couple of months, we was able to, go out and get some exercise. So me, I got my little laps in, and then I went to the court and just listening to some of his podcasts, watching some of his clips on Instagram, I really started to, because at that time, I was okay at shooting. But again, obviously, if there's room for improvement, I'm down to learn. And just understanding the secrets in and going through some of the drills and energy transfer,
for sure,
the importance of keeping the elbow close to the body for good alignment. And for yourself, coach, when it comes to if there are do you have any favorite drills for developing solid shooting techniques, especially for aspiring basketball players?
That's a great question, because obviously every player or coach wants to know, like, what's the secret, what's the favorite drill, what's the best drill that I can show, and immediately that player will understand it. I always kind of go by, I obviously have this from Mike and Rob, is I think understanding is the best drill. Like, because every player needs something different. So yes, there might be drills, maybe from Rob, the roll-up drill, that can help. But, there is so many different ways of helping the player. And so first of all, you have to kind of analyze and see what is the adjustment you want to do with the player. So it's not just like, hey, use this drill for any player and all of a sudden he's going to be great. So it's not so much, about the drill, but it's more about just understanding, like, okay, so this is what he struggles with and this is what we need to work on. And then obviously whatever you do, you can obviously call it a drill, because every exercise you do is probably a drill. Right. But it's definitely, you will probably pick, let's say, the best or the better drill if you understand what the player needs. So yeah, like a roll up drill, I think is always great. And then just the simple fact of just the 1-2 and through, it's great for any player, if it's somebody really young starting, or somebody older who's been playing, just to kind of break down the shot into these three elements: the 1, the ready position, lifted, 2 to the set point, release the ball. And there is different, teaching points in those three elements. But that's probably kind of maybe the go-to, drill before, you know, I start working with players that I have not seen, or just to kind of, you know, introduce them to how I want to, you know, teach shooting.
Right. And I think this is why I think two things. One, I think why we both love the game of basketball so much, and especially two, us being in the positions that we are, even though we are coaches, we are still very much students of the game. So we're very willing to have conversations with coaches, you know, go for material, watch film, just in terms of, okay, how do the best of the best shoot? How do we understand that just scientifically in terms of how the body produces energy? And then how can we, you know, as, you know, Coach Rob says on various podcasts, you know, something so complex, how can we make it simple, digestible for the everyday athlete? So from your own experience, Coach, you know, what are the key mechanics behind a consistent and accurate shooting form, and how do you teach those to your players?
Well, it's like you were saying about Rob Fodor. I mean, he says it perfectly. He always asks, like, it came to clinics, describe shooting in less than 5 words.
Yes,
and
I love this.
Some, you know this, and most of the coaches who know Rob. So it's actually very simple. It's pass the ball to the basket.
Right.
And we, you know, this is what I do with my young kids. It's just get used to passing the ball to the partner. And then all you have to do to actually shoot the ball to the basket is just kind of lift, you know, the angle of your shoulder. Exactly. And it's pretty much the exact same movement. So for us, or for the kids, whoever, passing is not very difficult, right? Like, everybody can pass. And then all of a sudden, when we have to shoot, we start doing all kinds of funny stuff with our body, with the hands, with, you know, with the elbow and follow through. So it is actually, like I even said before, I think it's a very complex movement, but on the other side, it is also a very simple movement, because if you really break it down and, you know, start, you know, maybe with just passing it to your partner, and they're like, okay, pass it to the partner and then pass it to the basket. The movement is very, very similar, almost identical. And we would never say, oh, a pass is complex.
Right.
So that's pretty much also, you know, what I use to teach my players, even for the younger kids. You know, just pass it to me and then pass it to the basket.
Right. See, and that's something, is especially in a school setting, especially, you know, when you teach players at the grassroots that are just getting introduced to the sport of basketball, it doesn't always happen in each session, because, you know, each lesson is unique. But those who kind of think, wait a minute, I can pass the ball, so I can shoot the ball as well. And when you kind of break it down, show me how you would naturally pass the ball with one hand, literally.
Yes.
You know, everything hinges and then it follows through. Okay, now shooting is exactly the same. You're just changing the angle. And it's like that light bulb that, oh.
Yes.
Even if they're still missing, it's just the fact that they're able to retain that information. They're able to understand, okay, how I pass is how I shoot. And then it's seeing them be more successful. It's just amazing just to see that light bulb switch. And I saw, and I'm very
sure
that you've seen it as well, Coach.
Yes, yes, yes. It works. You know, like I said, it's sometimes we you know, make it a hard or difficult motion, but on the other side, it's very simple. But then again, it's when you know get these kids young, at the young age, and kind of explain and show them how actually, you know, shooting works and how kind of like easy it can be, then it's going to be definitely easier for them. And then also when they get older, it's not going to be as difficult to kind of, you know, adjust different habits they actually use to shoot. And I also, like, I'm really involved also with a lot of, like, you know, under 10 and under 12, and even in that range, I think it's also, yeah, technique is really important. But what I've also found out is that it's so important to lower the baskets, like give the kids the proper, you know, basketball size in the hoop. I know in the States, it's, yeah, they, you know, I don't know if they can lower the baskets or not, but they, you know, truly believe in there is one height, and, you know, they give the kids a size 7 or size 6 ball, and, well, maybe even use a 5, I'm not sure. But I think even there, you can make, you know, so much progress with these kids if you just lower the basket.
Right.
And give them a lighter ball, and then just, yeah, make it easy for the kids, because obviously those kids are young. What they want to have fun, and they want to, you know, make a lot of baskets. So even I have a video on Instagram that I did I was just kind of comparing like an under 12 player to me and just kind of standing underneath the hoop. So I have a luxury of I have a gym where I can raise the hoops. They go just straight up. And I put them up to 3 meters and 50, and I was shooting on it. And that's pretty much the size that most of these kids shoot at. And I was just like, no wonder these kids are, you know, twisting and turning and doing all kinds of funny things with their bodies, because they just don't have the, first of all, the strength, and then second of all, the technique. So it is very difficult. And yeah, it's strange that, you know, we as adults who should be the teachers and who should make stuff easier for them are not really getting it. It's the same. I always kind of compare it to different activities or sports. Like if you go skiing, you know, adult skis, or if you go buy a bike, you don't give the kids adult bike. What do? You start with this smaller bike and then progress to a bigger bike. And then somehow, some way, we don't do it in basketball, or not as much as maybe we should have.
Right. No, that's absolutely true, Coach. And I think one thing that's so cool is you definitely surround yourself with coaches who, I think one thing I love about yourself, Mike Dunn, and Coach Rob, is you guys definitely pushed the envelope, and you guys are very open to experimentation, and you really put these principles to the test, you know. And, you know, having worked closely with Coach Mike, you know, could you tell us any specific experience or lesson you learned from collaborating with them in refining your shooting skills?
Well, I'm learning every day something from Mike. We almost talk every day. He was here in Luxembourg last summer for, I think, 5 days. We did a couple of camps together. There's not one thing where I can be like, oh yeah, this is the one thing I learned, because like I said, I think every time I talk to him, every time I send him a video, there's always something new that I learn.
Right.
And that's the fun and beauty in this, because it's a constant learning curve. Like I don't think I ever will get to a point where I'm like, okay, I know how to teach shooting, because I don't think it's possible, because we have way too many players, way too many different body types and different motions, that everybody has a slightly different problem, and you always kind of have to look for, okay, this might work for this player, but it might not as well work for somebody else. So it's a constant, you know, learning period. And I think he's, you know, to me and Rob, Mike are the greatest teachers at it, because first of all, Mike, you know, he's breaking down, I think, I don't know, 30, 40, 50 videos each day of players, you know, sending him video. So he has seen, I would probably say the most out of any coaches out there, just, you know, how to correct or how to adjust shooting. And then Rob, obviously, he's been in this business such a long time that, you know, that's the two guys I go to whenever I have a question. And whenever they give me an answer, it's always something new, you know, something like, okay, I didn't know this. And then I try to remember it.
Right. Right. And what, because I completely understand, and it's super cool to find out, you know, just the big impact that your dad had just on your introductory to basketball, mm-hmm. you know, especially being able to see him play at such a high level. How would you describe, you know, was there anything outside of that factor that inspired you to become a basketball coach? And specifically, you know, kind of just talk us through your personal journey in becoming a coach that specializes in shooting.
Well, I mean, going back to my dad, I mean, first of all, I think parents are always, I would say, you know, I have four kids and they, you know, look up to us, and I looked up to my mom and dad. And, you know, I was, you know, kind of young when he was in his prime. So I did see some tapes, and he was playing the, you know, European championships and the Olympics against the best players in the world. So that was definitely very inspiring and motivating to me to be just like my dad. And that kind of gave me that drive to try to become, you know, as close as a good player as he was. And that was definitely the motivation when I was younger. And then, you know, he helped me, and he, you know, I had goals and dreams, and he definitely helped me to get there, to, you know, send me out to the States, and, you know, then try to play, you know, professionally in Spain. And It was definitely, yeah, thanks to definitely my parents who encouraged it and helped me in any way possible. So definitely, yeah, to both my parents.
Man, shout out to the parents for sure, man. And especially kind of just talk us through, because, I mean, I think especially in the UK on a whole, basketball is still very much a developing sport. I love the fact that when I started back in 2008 in terms of coaching, I look at now, basketball has completely gained a lot of popularity. It's definitely grown. There's more clubs, there's more teams, there's more leagues, there's a bit more of an infrastructure. In Luxembourg, you know, what's the basketball culture like out there?
Oh, it's like you said, it's growing big time. I remember when I used to play in Luxembourg, and I also got a chance to, you know, play quite some time with the national team. And back then it was just kind of like, you know, usually those games were in the summer, and it was just kind of, we got this usually American coach, and he came in, you know, a couple months before, and we had a training camp, and oh, let's go, you know, play some games. And we never went into those games, you know, try to win. I mean, back then we had, I don't know, 300,000, you know, citizens with a Luxembourg passport, and we are playing countries who have, you know, millions of you know, and then they have, you know, just different, you know, setups, and all their players playing professionally. And
right.
Back then it was, yeah, I mean, we did have really good players, but, you know, it was pretty much just me and my brother who actually, you know, played in college or played professionally. And, you know, we always wanted to come back and play for the national team. And the whole structure was just very, very different. Now it's, you know, even a couple of days ago, Luxembourg went to Hungary, and they actually beat them in overtime. Yesterday they actually played at home against Norway, and they actually had a bad game, but they could have, you know, also easily won that game. So now the culture has changed so much that going into those games, they really truly believe that, hey, we can actually win those games. And that was definitely not the case, I don't know, 15 or 10 years ago. So definitely, yeah, big ups to Ken Diderich, who's actually, you know, changed a little bit the whole culture. And it's definitely a work in progress. It's not always easy, but I definitely love in which way the direction is going from, you know, just Luxembourg or even in UK. I think the whole basketball world is definitely picked up, and yeah, it's a great sport to watch, great sports to play. So it's definitely super interesting where this is all gonna go.
100%, 100%, and that's one thing that is really cool. You know, as a sport starts to become super popular in a area, a city, or even a country, you start to see different areas of emphasis. You might have one region might focus on fast break, another region might be a bit more technical in the half court setting, mm-hmm. in terms of screens and angles of the cut. For yourself, coach, what have you seen so far just in terms of, I mean, is there a difference in region in terms of how basketball is taught in Luxembourg, or is it more or less the same type of teaching?
Well, I mean, obviously you have to look at first what kind of, you know, players or team you have. Like I said, we are a tiny country, and we will never have 7-footers. Or I think we had one, and yeah, but even in that way where basketball is going, you don't really use the 7-footers that much.
Right.
So obviously, even, you know, what Steph Curry did with, you know, his shooting ability, and, you know, what the NBA is doing, I think shooting became a very, very, useful and very important, maybe the most important skill in basketball. So, yeah, I think no matter where you go, if it's in Europe or if it's in the States, everybody needs to be able to shoot. You know, you got fives coming out shooting threes, fours, and, you know, I don't want to, you know, go into guards how many threes they shoot. So definitely shooting is very important. Playing fast, for sure. So it's all kind of depends on what players you have. But I would say, you know, playing fast, up-tempo, and then, you know, what is it now? Most teams play, what, 4-out, 5-out,
yeah.
Drive and kick. It's really not as much as, you know, half court setup, and let's, you know, feet to post, and then see what, you know, what he got, and maybe if they double team, he kicks it out. If not, he, you know, keeps pounding. So it's, yeah, it definitely depends on the players and the team you have. But I think the game is changing big time, and I think in a good way. I think, you know, there's so many also, you know, whoever people or coaches saying that there is no that defense is not as important or not as good, maybe in a way. But I think the players are getting so much more skill and so much better on offense that it is just really difficult to stop them. So that's just my how I see it.
Right. And, you know, I kind of remember, and I'm sure you do too, Coach, the emergence of Steph Curry, what that did for him, his team, the league, and then players just across the world. I think there was a clip that went viral on Instagram where they're driving to the basket, it's a fast break, but he kicks it out, takes a three,
for sure,
misses it, kicks it out again, and misses the three. Like, there were some coaches that was kind of on the bandwagon of Steph, as much as he showcased how important and how much of a sharp shooter he is, it's kind of messed up the game, especially for these young kids, in terms of they don't think, you know, about shooting shots that are in range, in rhythm. It's just, if I'm open, I've created this shot, but I'm just going to jack it up. So for yourself, what's your philosophy when it comes to basketball, particularly in terms of shooting?
Well, I mean, basketball is still a team sport, right? So we got five guys on the team, and I think if you really want to, you know, win and be competitive, you have to, you know, involve all five players. Like, I don't think you can have just one or two guys who's just going to keep jacking up shots. You might win a game or two, but overall, I think it's still, you know, it's a team sport. You need a little bit of everything. But even now, if you compare it or look at the NBA, I mean, look who won the title. It's the Denver Nuggets with a 7-footer who's not athletic and who's super slow, but he's dominating. So it's kind of like, yes, Steph Curry definitely changed the game, and, you know, he won four rings, but there is only one Steph Curry. You know, Trae Young was supposed to be the next Steph Curry, and who else, you know, whatnot. But you see, it's not that easy. You have to have the right team. You have to have, you know, the right coach, right system. And I think everybody wants to copy what works, but it's just, I don't know if it's possible, if you really can copy a player or copy even, like, if you just take a shot, like, everybody wants to shoot like Curry. No, I don't think it's possible because, you know, you are not built like Steph Curry. You don't have the talent. You don't have the vision. You don't have the training. So it's always very difficult. You have to be, you know, watch out on how much you actually want to, you know, copy that style or copy that player, because it can work, but it's, yeah, I don't know. It's strange and interesting, because that's why I think that the game of basketball is so beautiful, because it keeps changing. Even just like what I mentioned about the Nuggets, you know, they won it with a 7-footer. Yes, they have some shooters around him, but he is the main guy. And then even before with the Bucks, Antetokounmpo, I mean, he's almost a 7-footer, but he brings up the ball and then penetrates. So he's finished pretty much everything inside. So he's not a shooter. So it's always kind of, there's always this constant, you know, up and down, and this is, you know, working and this works, and then let's all jump on this boat. And I think it's super interesting, but also, like I said before, it all depends on what type of players you have.
True.
And I think a coach should always adjust to, you know, first what kind of players you have, and then see what you know, what style you want to play. But yeah, it's, yeah.
Man, it's again, you know, this sport is really cool. And I say that because, like you said, you know, and you even been referencing it, you know, in the past, is that, you know, one shoe does not fit all. Yes, we have a high level understanding of shooting, but, you know, what you emphasize with one player, you might not be able to apply that to another player. So having said that, Coach, in your experience, what are some common challenges players face when trying to improve their shooting, and how do you address them?
That's a very good question. I can only do as much as I can, you know, show them or tell them, but it's still 100% up to the player to actually wanting to adjust the shot. So I've been, you know, doing this for 3-4 years now. And there are still players who, you know, who I've been trying to teach, and they went, you know, and saw Rob and then talked to Mike, and they still were not able to, you know, let's say fix or adjust the shot, because they just don't really, I guess, buy into it or you know, or feel like it's going to help them.
Right.
So it's really challenging. Obviously, you also have the type of players where you just show it once, they pick it up and they, you know, adjusted it and they're like, oh man, this is amazing. It works. And then you have guys who, you know, you constantly keep reminding them and keep showing them. And then when you look at them, they're like, they try it. And then once you turn your back, they go back to their old habits.
That's right.
It is definitely, it's not easy, you know, because if shooting was easy, everybody would be a great shooter.
Right.
And even if you just look at Steph Curry, he's the greatest shooter of all time, but he misses more shots in a game than he makes.
Right.
So it is extremely difficult. And that's, I guess, also the, you know, challenge for shooting coaches or skills coach, whatever you want to call them that. There is not one way to teach it. Every player is different. Everybody has their little teaching points. But it definitely, my experience, the player has to be open to the adjustment, and he has to obviously work on it. And it's not going to be done in 1 or 2 days. It might take 3 weeks, 3 months, maybe 2 years. But it's definitely a challenging work.
Definitely, man. I mean, it's funny because it was really cool to hear another coach say that, because, you know, there'll be times when they really fine-tune and they, when you're there, it's like you are that visual reminder of, okay, rather than having my elbow out, let me really tuck it in, knock down three, mm-hmm. four in a row. And then the real challenge is once you step away as a coach, even if they go to a park or you just go to the other half of the court, you know, once that visual reminder is gone, they kind of just mm-hmm. slowly start to fall into bad habits. So it's just mm-hmm. a constant journey.
Mm-hmm.
improvement. And even on that, coach, how do you balance not just the technical aspects of shooting, but also, you know, how do you balance the technical aspects of shooting with the mental side of the game when you're coaching players?
Oh, that's a whole different story. I mean, you got players, they can be really great shooters and they miss 2-3 shots in a row and then they stop shooting and then they pretty much the game is over. And then also you have shooters who, you know, go 0-for-12 and then they keep shooting and then they make the next 5. So can you teach it? I guess you can, but I think it's also part of just your DNA, you know, how are you built, you know? Are you mentally strong? Are you, you know, always kind of like, okay, do you look forward to the next shot or do you look, you know, backwards and like, oh, I already missed 5, so I can't, you know, shoot another one because next one's going to be a miss.
Right.
So I think the more negative thoughts you have, obviously the harder it will be. And the more just kind of free and open you are and then always look for the next shot, the easier it will be to actually make the next shot. So I think it definitely you can, you know, train it and coach it and whatnot, but it's definitely also up to the player how, you know, mentally strong he is.
See, and I would even say you could even apply that to, because there's, you know, I mean, you probably get a dozen questions, Cole, just in terms of, you know, could you look at my form? What do I need to do better? I'm really good at practice, but what's the competitive drill to get me in that mindset? And especially, you know, just in terms of when it's, you know, shooting under pressure, especially in crunch time, you know, when some mm-hmm. asks you that, is it still the same principles that you teach on a day-to-day basis, or is there anything specific or, you know, something that you kind of take to the next level when, you know, you kind of just highlight how to be efficient when shooting under pressure or just in crunch time situations?
Well, I mean, it's obviously very difficult to type of practice. So I always, you know, like to, you know, have drills where it's always competitive. You know, either you have, you know, make a couple in a row, or if you miss, it's -2. With a defender, or just kind of different, you know, different constraints to try to simulate the game as close as possible. Is it always possible in practice? No, because in practice you don't have, like, you know, obviously depends on where you play, thousands of people and, you know, the pressure of losing or winning. You know, in practice, if you lose or win, not much really happens. So it's definitely challenging. But even there, that's the fun part, to, you know, come up with drills and come up with ways how to, you know, keep challenge the players. I mean, I remember when I was, you know, growing up and playing and even college on pros, I mean, we barely, you know, had drills where we actually shot contested shots. It was all just kind of, you know,
true.
5 spots, make 20, and then change court and change, like, and then obviously that does not really translate to a game setting. So I think it's really important the way you practice. So if you really practice and you challenge your players and, you know, you put live defenders on them and you put different constraints, then yes, I think they will make more shots in the game.
Absolutely. See, and that's just even a key detail that is very, very important when you're building that session for that player or that team. Mm-hmm. Definitely, just in terms of thinking about progressions, how can you make it harder? Yes, you want to get them a comfortable stationary, you know, shooting on mm-hmm. the move, you know, shooting coming off a screen versus a man-to-man and a zone is two different looks. But just applying that defensive look definitely is even more transferable, mm-hmm. especially in a game scenario. And kind of just moving forward to it, is there anything that you're, you know, just in terms of looking ahead, you know, are there any trends or innovations that you see that are shaping the future of shooting development in basketball?
Yeah, that's a great question. I think it's always changing. And I'm also super, super curious if, you know, if you look back 10 or 15 years from now and be like, well, this is what we were teaching and this is how it is now. Right. Like, what is the next thing? And I don't know. I think what's really, I think, coming up now and what really, you know, you see a lot of, you know, skills coaches do is really to put different constraints and different drills, make it harder and just kind of try to simulate more the game type of shots that you're going to use in a game. Because, you know, it's kind of been a while since I played, but this is what we were, you know, used to practicing, just, you know, five spots and make 20 and not really much game like. And I think it's really starting to change. And yeah, players and then coaches see the difference. Right. That, you know, you have to really, you know, take shooting and then try to use these drills to simulate the game shots as closely as possible. And it obviously, it all depends like what you want to work on. If you want to really work on, you know, the form or technique, obviously you're not going to throw a defender on them. But it's, you know, team settings, and then if you have, you know, some great shooters, I think it's very, very important to keep challenging them, you know, just put a couple defenders out there, put, you know, limit their dribbles, limit, you know, put some time on it. So I think this is, in my opinion, the way to practice. And I think the results will definitely will be there.
Right.
What's the next best thing? I don't know. I wish I had it. And I don't know if I would, you know, tell you. Because, but I don't know. It's a great question. And it's always funny to, you know, who's going to come up? Because that's kind of like, even like on social media, you see it all the time. Like, okay, so what's next best thing? Like, oh, he's doing this. So, oh, let's all jump and try to. So it's a lot of, you know, copying whatever somebody's doing. But it's still like, I always say, as a, you know, former player and, you know, been, you know, mentoring and had some really, really good coaches and my dad, I always say I have a certain filter in my head or in my brain where it's like, I kind of see something and I'm like, yeah, this is maybe more just to kind of like, you know, entertainment. Right. Or like, oh, okay, maybe this is good and maybe I can, you know, tweak it or adjust it and I can use this. So I think it all depends on the coach or the player who, you know, who sees it and what is he going to do with it. You know, is it just kind of just for fun and like, you know, let's do this drill because it looks cool? Or is it really something that, hey, this is really something that can make your players better?
Love it. I love it. And just before we get into the fourth quarter, we're in the third quarter right now, which I like to call the quick hitter segment. And I'm just super curious just to get your mind on this, coach. But before we get into that, just a final question I've got for you, coach, is, you know, are there any highlights that stand out to you the most? But also, what were some of the lowlights that made you a better person and a better coach?
You talking about like the high and low lights for me as a player, or?
We can do a bit of both. So when that question is presented to you, what comes up first? Like, it could be the player, like as a player, you know, under a game scenario, I learned this, but then the highlight was, you know, being able to stay composed, or even as a coach as well. So whichever one comes up first.
I mean, as a highlight, as a player, I really do want to always like to look back on when I was younger and I played in Luxembourg with my friends and there was no pressure. It was all fun. Nice. And we were just, college was amazing, great time, but definitely a lot of structure, a lot of also frustrating times, but definitely a great experience. And then playing professionally also, again, different challenge. It's your job now. So that was the toughest was probably just the mental side. I mean, you know, you practice the whole week and then there comes the weekend where you have actually the game. So it's a constant, you know, challenge with, you know, staying mentally strong. And, you know, obviously you have a much different schedule than anybody else, like your friends, because, you know, you work out in the morning, you work out at night. Then you have to rest, then you have to, you know, you can't go out, and oh, the weekend is there, so oh, I got a game, then after the game, you have to rest up to, you know, be ready for the next week. So it's definitely, I think, for me, was the most difficult was definitely the mental side. Obviously, body-wise also, you know, it also depends on the coach, but back then, when I played, this is in 06 to 08, man, we used to go two hours in the morning, 2 hours at night, you know, taped ankles and just go at it.
Right.
So that was still those times where you just, and then even like shoot rounds, you know, tape ankles and, you know, go full speed for an hour, then you play 6 hours later. So
right.
That also definitely is changing. But yeah, like, you know, highlights definitely being young and just fun playing. And I probably take from every little stop, take something positive. I'm more of a positive guy, so I don't really dwell too much on the negative stuff. But probably the biggest hit that I got from just, you know, from like the basketball side is in 2000 when my father, he actually died when he was 46 and I was only 18. He had a heart attack. So that was probably the biggest blow ever. Got in my life, definitely made me stronger, but that was very difficult. Yeah.
Man, well, first off, sorry to hear that. But two, I mean, I could just tell he's still forever present in your life, just in terms of where you are at right now, you know. So shout out to Posh,
for sure.
And just making a transition into the quick hitter segment now before we get into the fourth and wrap up. This one I'm super curious to hear is the first one I've got, Coach, is what would you say is a skill that is taught by many but only mastered by a few?
Oh, that's a great question. I mean, you want to bring back to shooting. I mean, like I said, I think before, Steph Curry is the greatest shooter ever, right? And he misses more shots than he makes. And he's still, what is he, in his 15, 16 years, still probably daily working at, you know, at the skill of becoming a better shooter.
Right.
And then I think one really underrated skill is definitely passing. I mean,
very true. Very true.
We all have, you know, we all have to pass. We all have to make good passes. And even if you look at really great teams who can really pass the ball, usually a very successful team. So underrated skill that, you know, probably a lot of coaches lack in practice, probably passing. And yeah, probably the most, hard or most difficult skill is, I would probably still say, yeah, shooting. Because it's a constant evolution of, you know, how to shoot, you know, quicker, better, and more efficient. Further away from the three-point line, so it's definitely challenging.
Nice. I agree as well, but shooting and definitely passing, so that was a good one. Next one I've got is best piece of advice you ever received.
Ooh, that's a great question. Best piece of advice. When it comes to coaching or just like life overall?
Life in general.
Life in general, huh? Best advice. Can't really think one top of my head.
Sure.
Like I said, I think I'm a, you know, really positive guy and try to enjoy life. And even, you know, when I was growing up, you know, I was born in the Czechoslovakia, and then in 85, when I was four, we came to Luxembourg, and obviously Luxembourg is a richer country and just way more options.
Right.
And that kind of also definitely shaped me that, I don't know, in some way I just really do appreciate the little stuff. And not sure if I got it from my parents or just for myself, but I really am super thankful every day for the life I have, for the opportunity that my, you know, parents took when they took us to Luxembourg in 85 and just have a better life, and that's all they wanted. So it's definitely, you know, comes always back to my parents that they took the risk and educated us and just wanted the best for us. So I guess that's it.
Indeed. Honorable, once again, man, honorable shout out to the support system. That's the family, man, for real.
Yeah.
For real. And just a final two, if it wasn't for basketball, I wouldn't have learned filling the blank about myself.
Oh, pretty much everything. I think basketball gave me everything. It gave me, better place to educate myself in, you know, being in Luxembourg, better chance to, you know, seeing the world by traveling to all these, you know, games and tournaments, by exploring different cultures, different foods, different languages. I mean, I speak basketball. I got my education in the States just because I play basketball. I met my wife through basketball, and we have four beautiful kids all through basketball. So it's all, to me, really, really connected through basketball. And this is also kind of the mission I'm on, that, you know, I just want to, you know, give back. You know, there is definitely Mike and Rob who definitely helped me in the way I'm teaching. But, you know, I had many great, you know, coaches and people who helped me to reach my goals. And that's all I want to do. I just want to, you know, give back and help as much as possible.
Love that. Love that. And see, that's just, even for me, it's just dope to see, you know, that this one sport that I absolutely love, that I'm absolute geek nerd day in, day out, it's with me 24/7 is basketball. Mm-hmm. And a dope thing is, if it's taught in a certain way, you know, basketball really tells you how to apply yourself for life, you know, just in terms of communication, staying
for sure,
knowing how to read body language, knowing how to communicate. And just the final one, God, before we wrap up the fourth quarter, is, what would the title of your autobiography be?
Oh, wow. Another great question. What will be the name? I never thought about that one, but I don't know, man. I guess, like I said before, I'm a pretty happy guy.
Right.
So something with being, you know, I just, you know, I want to be positive. I want to be happy. I want to, you know, spread some love and, you know, help people. And, you know, we have enough people, or, you know, countries going against each other and stuff. And I, you know, like I said before, I'm just really appreciative of, you know, what I have, what I achieved, and what's to come. And I don't have the title, but it will be something in that way, just to, you know, help out and then spread the love and just be happy. I mean, if you look at it, how long can we, you know, live in on this earth? About maybe 80, maybe 90 years.
Sure.
That is just a blink. So in that time, let's just, you know, enjoy it, have fun, and help as many people as possible.
Absolutely. I see that. Yeah. That's just a great way to end the podcast. And listeners, do not worry. All the links will be in the description of this podcast. But Coach Peter, for those who just want to learn more about shooting, the game of basketball, you know, just how you teach, and they just want to follow your journey and even learn from you as well, where can they find you?
It's simple. It's my first and last name, and then shooting. So it's Peter Rajniak Shooting. Very simple. I also actually just a couple of weeks ago started my own little website, which is called basketballshootingclub.com. So that's where you can also find me.
Perfect. And listeners, don't worry, all of that information will be in the description of this podcast. But listeners, we thank you, Coach Peter Rajniak. I mean, this was an absolute pleasure. So again, thank you so much for your time.
Oh, this is cool. Very cool talk. Appreciate it.
Absolutely. This is myself, Coach D, and Coach Peter Rajniak signing out.
That's right.